Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Have you been blessed so far? Maybe, are you guys hearing me clearly? Have you been blessed so far?
Yes.
If you are blessed, you shouldn't be afraid to say, I am. You're barely responding. Today we are here to talk about the power of God's word. And as you heard, I said, we will be talking about. So we are all in this together. I mean, there's so many things that I want to say, but I know time will not permit me. But how many of us believe that Jesus is coming soon?
Amen.
How many of us know that Jesus is coming soon? Usually I don't really watch the news that much. But for the past few weeks, I've been watching the news, and there's so many things that has been going on that reminds me that Jesus' coming is very imminent. And because of that, we are, as God's people, we ought to be more alert and be more intentional in our walk and also in our witness for God. And I think many of us, we get so used to just coming to church. We become so casual when we come in and to meet God. This is God's house. Do we agree?
Yes.
I have to keep you guys engaged because... And at times, we just come in because it becomes like a ritual. We just come in and we just sit down and we hear songs or we hear this and then we just go. But God has given us 6 days to do everything that we need to do. And he gave us one of those six to prepare for this day. And Sister Marilyn was talking about graduation for her graduation and also her daughter. And I'm pretty sure many of us here, we have had graduations. We have sat in exams, and she talked about rules. And I'm pretty sure all of us who have sat in an exam, there are rules before we get in there. One main one: no cell phone. And it has been so regularly in God's house. I'm not saying you can't forget your cell phone in your bag or in your pocket. But it is a mental thing because has anyone here sat in an interview, or like a job interview? I'm pretty sure before we go in, we're going to make sure our phone is off because when I'm being interviewed, if my phone should ring, what does my interviewer is going to say? So these things I prepare in my mind. I can't take this. I can't take that. I have to make sure this is. But when it comes on to, for us as God's people to come into his house, it becomes so casual. I forgot to turn off my phone, and that is because of my mental state. And we are coming into the presence of God. And God is not just our friend. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And he is holy. And our desire is to be holy. When Moses said to Jesus, well, to God, show me your glory, he said, show me your face. He said, this is what I'll do for you. I'll put you in this rock, and I'll pass by so you can see me from behind, because you cannot see my face and live. God is so merciful that he invites us one day a week to come into his presence and to acknowledge him for who he is. And some of us, we barely prepare mentally, much more spiritually, because if I'm not prepared mentally, I won't be prepared spiritually. So we are so close to the end of time. Our mindset should be different so that our actions when we come into God's house, when we leave God's house, when we are at work, wherever we are, as God's people, we are to be different. Do we find that being a witness to others or just a witness of Christ has become more difficult for us? That was a question. We don't witness for Christ?
Yes.
It's not a trick question. I'm not going to put you in prison if you say something wrong. But I'm saying that it is because our mindset, even though we are at this point in history, our mindset is still not in line with what God is asking of us. If God should return now, which that it's any time now, Christ can return or we might die. And that is why we are encouraged to live each day as if it's the last day. But we have to be intentional, ask God to help us to live as though he wants us to live. I was reading this verse in John chapter 17. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples. He was talking also to his father. And from verse 14, I'm just going to go from 14 to 16. Jesus said, I have given them their word. And the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And we have become so much like the world that they can barely see a distinction between us. The more different we are, the easier witnessing becomes. Because people always want to know, why are you so different? It's the same thing with Christ. Christ was so different because even though we are in the world, Christ was in the world, but he said he's not of the world. And as his representative, as long as you're old enough and accept Christ, then we are obligated to let the world see Christ. We are his witnesses. Let us pray before we begin. That was not a part of my sermon anyway. Father in heaven, we thank you for your wonderful love, for your grace, and for your mercy that you have extended to us. You have invited us one more time into your presence. And for that we are grateful and we thank you. We ask you, Father, as we come to just to read from your words, we ask that you'll open our minds, that you will give us a clear understanding, that you will help us to learn to trust you in all that you say. Even when it doesn't make sense, dear Father, we should remember that you made sense. You are the one who makes sense, dear Father. So I ask that you will fill us with your spirit. We ask that you will subdue every unholy thought or any desire to rebel against your word, so that we as your people can gain the victory as your name be glorified. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We're still in the book of John. John chapter 11. And we'll begin at verse 1. For those who have, and I always prefer the King James Version, but since we are all not reading out loud, whatever version you prefer, you can go ahead. Who can tell me what our title for today is? Can anyone tell me what the title for today is? The power of his word. Do you believe there is power in God's word?
Yes.
Have you proven that for yourself? It's hard to get you guys engaged. How many of us like sports? Young people also. You don't like sports? What's the thing that you enjoy the most? Young people? We have one young person in here. I am pretty sure when you're engaged in the thing that you enjoy the most, you don't sit silent or you don't stand and just be silent. That is not how you show enjoyment. So when we come into the house of the Lord, we should be happy to be here. And we are here just to share and to learn and to grow because, as I said, Christ is very near. So we have to be engaged. We have to be intentional, want to know what God is saying. So the title is The Power of God's Word. John chapter 11, verses. We'll start at verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was this Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Who was sick? Lazarus was sick. And who was Lazarus? All right. Lazarus was the brother of Martha and Mary, a friend of Jesus. And the Bible said Lazarus was sick. And because Jesus was their friend, he said, therefore they sent to let Jesus know that Lazarus is sick. Now, have you ever been sick or have there been anyone in your family that was sick? Who did you call? Make sure that you're saying what you're saying. As God's people, we will get sick. It doesn't mean that we are not immune to this. The great S1 that we call, because he is still the great physician ever known to man. And that has not changed. He's not saying don't call the doctor. He's not saying don't visit the doctor. But God is the first one we turn to. Here we see that these three individuals were friends of Jesus. And I'm pretty sure a physician was around then. But they said they sent to tell Jesus. And they used the word, they said, the one whom you love. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Yes. I give up. Yes, apart from John 3:16 that tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But everywhere in the Bible that you read from Genesis to Revelation, if you understand, you'll know that you are loved by God. And it's not because of who you are or because of what you do or because of what you're capable of doing. God just loves you. He cannot do any better because he's love. So here it says that the one whom you love is sick. So we know that whenever we are sick, not just physically, there are so many types of sicknesses. He's the first one that we run to because he's the one that there's nothing that he cannot do and there's nothing that he would not do for us. The story goes on. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Verse 5, he said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode or he stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. How many of us have ever prayed And who knows, maybe now we're still waiting for the answer for that prayer. I have prayed many prayers, and I forgot them even before they were answered because I waited so long. Sometimes I forgot to give thanks, to say, Lord, thank you for answering. We know that God knows all things. There's no restriction where God is concerned. He does not think like us. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. And here he said, the moment Lazarus was sick, they sent unto Jesus, hey, Lazarus is sick. Meaning, if I'm going to tell you that I'm sick, it is because I know you can do something about it, and I would love for you to do something about it. But it says, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death. So he delayed. What was the reason for Jesus delaying his to go to Lazarus?
Bring glory to
God. There we go. Thank you, Brother Mitch. I don't know if we are afraid to talk or we are just not interested in what has been said. But they said that Jesus delayed, and his delay was for the glory of God and for also his glory. A lot of times we get upset because you should have answered by now. And at times we prayed and we're waiting and waiting and waiting and we run out of patience. And we said, okay, I'm going to do this myself or I'm going to seek other help. There is no other help that could be better than what God can give. So if God delays, it is for your good. And for his glory, it's always for his glory. Because everything about man should be about the glory of God. That is why we were created, to give God's glory. So it doesn't mean that our prayers are not heard. We know that there's only one reason why our prayer will not be heard. It tells us in Jeremiah. That is because when you're full of iniquity, he said, the Lord said, I will stop my ear. Or he said, I will turn my back. He will not hear you. He will not hear us. But here we see that Jesus delayed getting to Lazarus or to Lazarus' house. And it's only for the glory of God. It is also, we can see that it is also for the benefit of the family and many others. But the focus was pointed. It is for the glory of God and for the glory of his son. So it is a lesson for us when we prayed. It doesn't matter how long it takes. We should know that God heard our prayers. And he will answer. And whenever that prayer is answered, that is the best time that you could have gotten a response from God. It doesn't mean that he'll leave you alone in whatever you're facing. Whether sickness, it doesn't matter what it is. But God is always there. Even when you feel like he's not there. Or you feel like you're all alone. Jesus felt that way too when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, his disciples left him and he said, even though I'm alone, I'm not alone. Because he's saying, he knows that his Father is with him. And at times as humans, we feel that way. Feel that we're alone. But we should always remember that God is always with us. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. We move down to verse 11. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Now we know that in the first three verses, Lazarus was sick. Jesus said, the sickness of Lazarus is not unto death, but is for the glory of God and for the glory of the Son. Here Jesus is talking with his disciples. And he said, Lazarus is asleep. And he said, I go that I may wake him up. If he was just asleep, couldn't his sister or someone just wake him up? But this sleep, you can only be awakened from this sleep only by the power that creates you, the power of God. Is this further, just before that, Jesus told them the same thing, his disciples. Lazarus is asleep. And they said, well, if he's asleep, he should be doing well because he's resting. But here Jesus goes on. He said, Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, shall he not do well? How did Jesus speak of his death? But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. So we see Jesus, because he is the one who gives life. It's just like when you go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning. Do you wake yourself up? Who go to bed and wake themselves up?
You just wake yourself up.
A lot of people think that I go to bed and I wake myself up. And I just get up and go on my way. And we fail to give God thanks for anything that he does for us. It doesn't matter how small it may seem to us. But even going to sleep and find yourself wake up in the morning or even in the middle of the night. Well, sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night because you eat too late and you have bad dreams and all those things. But God is the one. If you find yourself with life, and each moment that God has given to us, it is not for us to do what we want or to do what we feel. But he has given us time to allow him to prepare us for the coming of Christ. That is the only reason why that God has given us time. To make that change. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent he may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So who also benefited from Jesus' delay going to Lazarus? Thank you, Sister Diane. I heard two answers. They are both correct, but it is for all of us. Even though his disciples were present there, but whenever Jesus speaks, it is not just for the present. But we all can, if we weren't involved in that, we wouldn't have no hope in that, in this, what he's doing. But he said he delayed his going there for Lazarus. For their sake, but also for us. Because what he has done has given me hope. For those who die in Christ, the Bible said, is just asleep. Jesus knew that Lazarus was dead. The disciples couldn't understand. And even to today, we are his disciples. And there are many things that we read, and we still can't understand them. It is not because we are unable, but we are not willing to apply ourselves. The Lord said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, he said, come and seek for me with all your heart, he said. Then I will make myself known to you. But if I just come and I just read and read and read and expect to find God, that is on my own terms. But if I do what God said, then he's accountable to make himself known to me. Because he said, when you do this, I will make myself known to you. And he gives us all of these promises to give us hope, and for us to gain strength as we go day by day. Because he knows that the closer we are to the end of Christ coming, we're going to get discouraged because there's so many things that is happening, not only in our lives, but just in general. A lot of times people see things going on and the evil just keeps going. Some people just get discouraged. But God is saying there is hope, not in the words on a page, but in what Jesus said. His word gives us hope because there is power in his word. His word can change our lives. If when we study, by the guidance of His Spirit, we allow Him to change us into His glory. We go to verse 15. Jesus said, oh, I just read 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, and to his fellow servant, his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now Jesus said that he's going to Jerusalem. And they said, why would you want to go there? Because of lately, they all want to kill you. But here he's saying, okay, let us go so that we can die with him. How many of us are willing not to die with Christ? He's already dead and rose again. But how many of us are willing to die for him? Because that day may come sooner or later for either one of us. But are we prepared to willingly say, I'll die for him? We can only come to the conclusion when we are changed and Christ is our only focus. Because if there's anything else that is occupying our minds and take first place, that is the only thing that we'll give our all for. Maybe not our life, but we'll give our all the time that we have. We'll dedicate it to that thing. And God is saying, I have to be first place, else you won't give me everything. That goes to show us that in God's eyes, we are first place because he gave us all in his son. When he gave his son to us, he said, he gave everything. There was nothing that he had left. So in a sense, God is saying, I love you so much that I am willing to give the life of my son for you. Living with you, I enjoy more than, well, not more, but I prefer to live with you than to just live without you and I'll live with my son. That is a love. Some people ask, why didn't God give himself? He did. When he gave his son, he actually gave himself. And it tells you that everything that his son went through, he said, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He didn't just send him and just leave him there by himself. So we are loved by God, the Father. We are loved by the Son. And we are loved by the Holy Spirit. They all three play a part in our salvation. So Thomas said, let us go so that we might die with him. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days. In verse 3, he said that Jesus delayed. He stayed where he was for 2 days. Now, we know that from Jerusalem to Bethany, even if you're crawling, it's not going to take you 2 days. But now it says, by the time he got there, Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. So he delayed exactly where he was 2 days, so he must have spent the rest of time somewhere else. And he was doing all that he can not to get there, so that when he arrived, the glory will not go to the sister or the sisters or any of the Jews that was there, because they could not help Lazarus' situation. We will find ourselves in situation as God's people when no other human can help us. It doesn't matter how spiritual they may seem. It doesn't matter how close you are, but only God alone can help you. And God allows us to find ourselves in those situations so that our focus can be on him. so that others can place their focus on him because of what he will do in our lives when we allow him to do that. It says here in verse 18, "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off." So we see it's less than 2 miles away from where Lazarus and his family was living when he got the news the first time. I know when you get all the way down here, he says, he's coming 4 days after. Now, if that was my brother or my sister, and I sent, I mean, it's today you have a fire next door, and you made a call and called the firehouse, and they're coming tomorrow. How would you feel? If you're sick, if you're at home and you're sick, or you have your child sick, or your spouse sick, someone in the family sick, and you call for the doctor because you're not able to go, and the doctor showed up 4 days after, maybe I would even open my door. And that is why God desires for us to know him. Because when you know him, you don't get upset. Well, you shouldn't get upset when he showed up when he chooses. Because if he knows everything, and everything that he does is always right, why am I getting upset? The moment I'm getting upset, I'm saying, well, you're wrong. You should have been here before. So God wants, he has given us all the evidence that we need to know that we can trust him. It doesn't matter the situation. And that is why faith, God didn't base faith on feelings. I don't feel that he's going to do this. I don't believe that he said that. No. Faith is not feelings. Because what? All of these senses is all that I can touch you, I can see, I can smell it, I can taste something. And that is why when Christ rose from the dead and he showed himself to the disciples, and Thomas wasn't there, and then they told Thomas, they said, "Hey, the master is alive." He said, "I will not believe, plainly, I will not believe unless I see him, unless I touch him." And these were his brothers in Christ. And they come to you and say, "Hey, the master is alive." And he said, "I don't believe you guys. I have to see him myself." And Jesus said, the next day when Thomas was in the house, he came in. And he said, "Thomas, here's my hand. Put your..." Thomas, he sees Jesus' hand. And he said, "Put your hand in my side." And then he said, "My Lord and my Master." Thomas was basing his faith and senses. If I can see him, if I can touch him, then I believe that it is truly who you said he is. But Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, blessed are those who believe without seeing, because that is true faith. It is not on the things that you can see or the things that you can feel. Because feelings change. Today you get up and you, maybe a few minutes after that, your mood is changed." So God didn't base faith on our feelings. Faith is when you know God and know what he says, it becomes easier for you. It becomes almost impossible for you not to believe and to trust him. And that is why he didn't withhold all of this information from us, so that we can know him and then we can trust him. Verse 19, "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. What is Martha actually saying to Jesus? At this, when she states that, if you were here, my brother would not have died. If I send and call the doctor, and he showed up, or the doctor showed up the day after, I would have said, if you had come when I call you, then my whoever it is wouldn't have died. And we say the same thing to Jesus many times in our lives. Because he's saying, I know that you should have been here before. When God is, so I'm actually telling God that you're wrong. You should have been here already. And that is why we have to always be conscious when we are in our daily lives, where our lives is actually portraying who God is in our lives. So Martha is saying that if you were here, my brother would still be alive. But she didn't stop there. She said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you. Is that the same for us?
Yes.
Or can that be the same for us?
Yes.
Jesus said in John 15 that if you abide in my word and my word abide in you and I in you, whatever you ask the Father, he will do it. And here Martha is saying the same thing to Jesus. But Jesus told us also that if his word abide in us, that means he is in us. Because in John 1:1 he said, the word became flesh, which was Jesus. And he said, if I abide in you, and you in me, whatever you ask, I will do it. A lot of times we ask him things and we expect him to do it. But what he says, we're not going by it. But we're still expecting him to do what we say. And even sometimes when we barely start to do what he asks of us, we expect results right away. What God is saying, faith will grow based on how we react to situation. This situation, every day we face situation as God's people, God intended for our faith to grow. Because that is how, if there is no test, how would I know how weak or how strong I am? How would I know where I am with God? If I get up every day and everything is just fine and easy, there's no way I could tell that I am strong until something comes. So every day is a challenge for us to always start the day with God as our number one. Some other said, I know that my brother is dead, but I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the last days. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last days. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. So even though she's looking at the end, but Jesus is saying, you don't have to go that far. Because I'm the same one who's going to resurrect him at the last day. But I can do it now. For us, we are in a world where it's just evil all around. And sometimes we find ourselves in dead situation. And we are ready to give up. And we are running here and we're running there. And we are so perplexed because we have answers coming from there and answers coming from there. But God is saying, I am the only one that can give life to your situation. No one else. And that is why I want you to make me first all the time. We get overwhelmed and we start call up whoever it may be, but it's not God. And then when we go there and get information there and we seem to get nowhere, we say, oh, let me ask God. But God is saying, no. If you make me first, a lot of the things that you face or you go through, you won't have to. So every day we have to be intentional in our walk with God. We ask Him to help us with the start of our day. What is your plan or your purpose or mine? Because we all get up each day. Even before we got up, days and weeks, we make plans. God expects us to make plans. But if He's Lord of our lives, then He has the right to overrule all the plans that we make if it's not in line with His. But sometimes we make our plans and it's going to be carried out no matter what you say. But God wants us to rest in Him and to live in Him. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, whosoever believeth in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And Jesus I've never seen a word that Jesus used that is just loosely. God doesn't waste words. Jesus doesn't waste, because God knows the importance of words, the importance of time. So He doesn't waste words, He doesn't waste time. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, He's saying, I can do it right now. Whatever you're going through, I can do it. I can relieve you. And if you call upon me and it doesn't happen then, it is because it is for your best interest. It may not feel that way, it may not seem that way, but when you trust Him through the highs of faith, I know it's difficult, but you can still say, Lord, I know that I want relief now, or I want this now, but your will be done. Give me the faith and the patience to trust you, to wait on you. Verse 26, Jesus said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he said, believe thou this? Martha responded, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who have came into the world and lived and died, and He's ascended up into heaven? And as the two angels said, that this same Jesus whom you have seen go up, He will come again. Do you believe that? Amen. This same Jesus is coming soon? If we truly believe that, as of this moment, I guarantee you, if we truly believe, our mindset from this moment until He returns will be different. Because when you believe something, you put a lot into it. You invest in what you believe in. When you graduate from, kindergarten, and you go on and you go on and you go on, when you get to university, if you didn't believe that you start to achieve something, you're not going to waste your time and go in there. And you started, and then you start to give it your all. The only thing God is asking for is just obedience. Disobedience is the reason why we are here today. The devil rebel, that's disobedient. You go to the Garden of Gethsemane, Eve rebelled, that's disobedient. Adam, that's disobedient. And all God is saying, just obey. And our lives would be so different. So today, my asking is that if we truly believe that God is able to take care of all our needs, because He said that, then we would have less worries. We will not be stressing ourselves and having anxieties, then our life will be so impactful on others, because they will be saying, I see what you're going through, but how come you're like this? Then we can say it is because of who Jesus is. So I say, if you believe that Jesus is coming soon and that you want to be ready when he comes, I ask that you stand with me as we prayed before we sing the last or the closing hymn. Father in heaven, we thank you for being the kind of God that you are. You have given us the blueprint. You have given us all the landmarks that we need. You have given us, dear Father, the opportunity to place ourselves into your hands. We know, Lord, that Jesus' return is very, very soon. It has been shown all around us. Things are happening rapidly. And we know that it cannot, the earth or this world cannot go on for much longer. Father, we know that you are constantly seeking to reach us, as you said in Revelation 3:20, that you stand at the heart of at the door of our hearts and you're knocking. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to open up to you so that you can come in and that you can make us ready, so that we can go home with Christ. He has given us this promise in John 14, that he has gone to prepare a place and he is coming back. Lord, I ask that everyone who is standing here this afternoon or this morning, that we will purpose in our heart, that we will desire to be recipient of that promise, that we can go home with Christ to live eternally with him. Lord, we thank you for being so gracious. We thank you for being so patient. And I ask that you will help us, that we will strive with all that we have to make you first. If we don't know how to do that, dear Father, we ask that you will teach us how to do. Teach us how to make you our number one priorities. We do. And to see what you can and will do in our lives. Forgive us for all our sins, I ask. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for answering. Because we ask it in the name of your perfect Son, Jesus Christ, our King and our Savior. Amen.